I'm going to switch out to the other mic, see if it's. Let's give this one a try. Thank you, buddy. How are we doing on the, what's that? It's ready? Okay. Good to go. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Nothing here. Oh, there we go. Tonight, I'm not going to talk for a real long time because I know we had the gospel already displayed several times through worship. We heard the gospel message through the play, through the testimonies, and in just a little bit, we're going to actually do something pretty cool here at the end. So. I know that I can do this. I know I can preach a lot shorter because, you know, for years as a Presbyterian pastor, I had 20 minutes tops. That was it. It was all timed down to the little second hand. So I could do this. But first I'm going to read from Matthew. Yeah, some of you didn't know that, huh? Yeah, I had a suit on and a tie, and over that I had a stole, a robe, and I had the stole. Yeah, the stole goes around the robe. So, see, I don't even know what it's called anymore. It's been a while. So this would have been Advent, so it would have been green right about now. Some of you are still trying to picture that, huh? It's true. Matthew 2. I'm just going to read this, the first 12 verses. After Jesus had been born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod, suddenly some wise men... Hello, there we go. Suddenly some wise men came to Jerusalem from the east asking, "Where is the infant King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to do him homage." Some of your scriptures will say to worship him. Some will say to honor him. When King Herod heard this, he was perturbed. He was ticked off. And so was the whole of Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "At Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote." And he's quoting from the prophet Micah, who says, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah. For from you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel." And then Herod summoned the wise men to see him privately. He asked them the exact date on which the star had appeared. And he sent them on to Bethlehem with the words, "Go and find out all about the child. And when you have found him, let me know, so that I too may go and do him homage." Right here, if we were having a movie, it'd be cut away, they'd leave the door, and he'd be going, "Let me do him homage." Boo. He doesn't mean it. Having listened to what the king had to say, they set out, and suddenly the star that they had seen rising went forward and halted over the place where the child was. The sight of the star filled them with delight, and going into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and falling to their knees, they did him homage, they worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But they were given a warning in a dream not to go back to Herod, and they returned to their own country by a different way. We're going to look tonight. I want to look just a little bit at each one of those three, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's so much in that about why they gave these gifts. But the first thing you need to know is that these wise men knew how to honor a king. You don't give a king, obviously a king, and the title of the message is, what do you give a king that has everything? Well, obviously you can't give them something they need, but you also don't give them something of little worth. You don't. That would be very demeaning, very dishonoring. And so they gave him things of great wealth. That's what you do for a king. That's how you honor a king. And they knew that. So the first thing they gave him is gold. Now, I'm not going to say a lot about gold because this is the one we know the most about. It's just interesting that through all of, pretty much through all of history, even written history, and certainly through the scriptures, gold has already always had great value. It's where we get phrases like "you're worth your weight in gold." That's just a high compliment. It's where a gold medal, you know, is given in the Olympics as the highest honor. And I put the Ark of the Covenant up there because God had very specific things about gold and how it was to be used. And one of the ways was he instructed that the Ark of the Covenant be made of gold. Everything that Jesus was given was foreshadowing who this little baby was going to be. And so Jesus clearly is the greatest treasure there is, but also that Ark of the Covenant was the presence, was the place where God's presence was carried. And clearly Jesus, more than any person that ever lived and who will ever live, carried that presence like no other. So that's gold. They gave him gold. They also gave him frankincense. Frankincense is a resin from the Boswellia tree. And it's used in incense. It's actually mentioned in Exodus 30:34. It's used in perfume. And what's interesting, if you look at that picture to the right, the frankincense is, they call it tapping. You know, when they're gleaning it, they call it tap. Frankincense is tapped through scraping the bark and allowing the resins to bleed out and to harden. And these hardened resins are called tears, which you can see. I don't even have to tell you how this foreshadows everything Jesus went through. That he was scraped, literally whipped and scraped. His back was literally scraped off. And the hardened resin is called tears. These tears are able to grow in environments so unforgiving that the trees sometimes seem to grow directly out of solid rock. And the deep roots prevent the tree from being torn away from the stone during the violent storms that frequent this region. And it says the tears from these hardy survivors are considered superior due to their more fragrant aroma. What they're saying is that the trees that have been through more, the tears are more fragrant. True of Jesus and true for you. The part of what is frankincense is used for also is for healing, especially for digestion and healthy skin. And we know from Isaiah 53 that it's by his stripes we are healed. And I would just, one last thing about frankincense, this tapping, it's done 2 to 3 times a year, with the final taps producing the best tears due to their higher aromatic content. So the last tears are the most, have the most aroma. And clearly with Christ, and we think of his tears in Gethsemane and where that led him, that was the greatest sacrifice of all. The third thing they gave him was myrrh. This is this reddish brown. It's a dried sap again. It's of a tree, Camphora myrrha. It's native to Yemen, Somalia, and Ethiopia. Often, in many parts of the world, this substance is actually worth more than gold. It's used in mixtures of incense, perfumes, toothpaste, lotions, anointing oil. Whereas frankincense was primarily used, well, I'm sorry, let me just stick with myrrh. I was going to tell you the difference. I'll come back to that in a minute. Unlike this, I found this fascinating. Unlike most other resins, it says myrrh expands and blooms when burned instead of melting or liquefying. So in the bringing that to Jesus and to us in the trials, but those as demonstrated by Christ and those who have Christ, instead of melting in the fire, you actually bloom and expand in the fire. It's been used as myrrh's been used as an additive to wine. Mark mentions this, Mark 15:22 and 23. This was the mixture of myrrh and wine that was offered to Jesus on the cross. And this is what was given to him as a child. As a baby. Also, myrrh is used as an embalming ointment. And John mentions this in his gospel, John 19:39, as it mentions it as one of the spices used to prepare Jesus' body for burial. So whereas frankincense is primarily a perfume, myrrh is primarily used as a preservative and used in for people who have died to preserve their body. So it's just fascinating. These are all very costly and, the richest things of their time, but also how each one of them so foreshadowed what Jesus was going to go through. You can't go back. The wise men were warned in a dream. Do not go back to Herod. And I want to just declare over all of you that just as once they met King Jesus, they could not go back, so the same is true for us. That when you truly see, I know a lot of people know about God, but when you truly see him, when you truly experience him, you cannot go back. When you know what truth is now, then the lies, they just don't hold the same power over you anymore. When you've experienced life, true life in Christ, then the stench of death is not intoxicating anymore. I'm not saying that we don't sometimes go back and sniff at it, but you know what? It's not going to do anything for you anymore. Once you've experienced the light, you absolutely cannot and will not go back to the darkness. And I am making that a declaration over all of you. Because what's happened is there's been an exchange that's taken place. An exchange life. I want to read from Ephesians 2. Because as you know, it's your life for his life. That's the deal, and what a deal it is. Ephesians 2 says, you were dead through the crimes and the sins which used to make up your way of life when you were living by the principles of this world, obeying the ruler who dominates the air, the spirit who is at work in those who rebel. We too were all among them once, living only by our natural inclinations, obeying the demands of human self-indulgence and our own whim. Our nature made us no less liable to God's retribution than the rest of the world. Paul's saying, hey, all of us have been there where we didn't know what we were doing. We were doing stupid things. We didn't realize the destruction it was causing to ourselves and others. We've all been there. But God, verse 4, but God, being rich in faithful love, through the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he brought us to life with Christ. It's through grace that you have been saved. And he raised us up with him, and he gave us a place with him in heaven, in Christ Jesus. This gets back to what Marcus said just a moment ago. There's nothing that you can do where God is going to abandon you. Cannot, will not happen. In fact, the only place that it does happen is right here. When sometimes we believe that lie, then it seems real to us. But I'm telling you, it's not real. He cannot, will not leave you. Because there's been an exchange. And of course, I'm talking about those who have said yes to Jesus. Those who have seen who he really is. Who has seen the Savior and said, Jesus, I know I don't deserve this. But what you did for me, I accept. For those, there is an exchange life. How complete is that exchange? Well, Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and yet I am not alive. I'm sorry, and yet I am alive. Let me say that again. I've been crucified with Christ, and yet I'm alive. He's going, how does this work? Yet It is no longer I, but it's Christ living in me. So he says, yeah, I'm still breathing. My heart's still beating. I'm still alive, but something has really changed. It's no longer I. It's not about me anymore. It's simply Christ. Simply him, no more, no less. Now here's an amazing thing. Jesus honors you as kings and queens in his kingdom. You are kings and queens in the kingdom of God. We know that in Scripture. It's in Revelation. It's in other places as well. We know that's true. But how is it that Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, how is it that God would honor you? Well, it says in 1 Peter 1:18 that he has given a king's ransom for you. Let me read it. 1 Peter 1:18. See, God's the one that came up with this thing called honor. And we would not be able to honor him unless he first honored us. How would we do it? How would we even know what honor is? So he's the one that says to you, you're kings and queens. Therefore, my kingdom is yours, so truly you don't need anything. However, I'm going to honor you. I honor you. I give you the greatest treasure, the greatest wealth. In 1 Peter 1:18, it says, for you know that the price of your ransom from the futile way of life, handed down from your ancestors, was paid. Not in anything perishable like silver or gold, but in precious blood, as of a blameless and spotless lamb, Christ. Just a minute ago, Lonnie said we can only give God glory because he crowned us with it. Where else are we going to get it? Do you understand that? We have nothing to offer him that he didn't give us. But what a God. He gave it all. He said, this is the deal. This is the exchange. My life for yours. I'll take your wadded up trash from your past, and I'll give you my glory. Is it a deal? That's what he says. He says, I'll give you my holiness. I'll take from you any wretchedness. I will give you my holiness. Done. Is it a deal? I'll give you my righteousness. I'll take away anything that would separate you from the Father, unrighteousness, and I'll give you mine. Is that a deal? That's the deal. You can't work for it. You cannot earn it. You cannot try harder for God. You can simply receive it. That's all you can do. Just receive it. Accept that the rest of your life is about a love affair with a God who did it all for you. And didn't wait for you to get your act together. Because he knows you can't. But I'm telling you, that's freedom. That's freedom. That's freedom. Because a lot of us have been told a lot of our lives we're not doing it right. We're not good enough. God's ticked at us. God's mad at me. No, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. He thinks you're amazing. But he also knows that you have a big problem. And that is that you by yourself could not do what it takes to be with him forever as a holy God. He says, that's okay. I so have to have you with me. I will do it all. I will do it all. Are you in? That's what he says. You know, it's absurd how anybody couldn't take him up on this offer. But I'll tell you why a lot of people don't, because they haven't been told the real good news. A lot of times they're still thinking, well, I can't live up to God's standards, so why do I want to feel bad about myself time and time again? They haven't understood the good news yet. So that's why we get to go out with this amazing news. But I'll tell you, you can't give it away unless you have it first. You have to know how good this is. So, how do we honor Jesus? You don't bring common things to a king. You bring treasures. The wise men knew that. So, Lord, what do we give to you that you don't already have? What do I have in the way of treasures that you could possibly want? And we might think, well, I can praise and worship him more. I'll forgive others. I'll give away his love. Those are all really good things. You know what those are? Those are fruit of the Spirit. Those are the outworkings of God living in you. But I want to tell you that there is only one gift worthy of King Jesus. It's what God says is the greatest treasure, the greatest commodity on the earth today, far better than gold or any other resource, and that is you. You are the greatest treasure there is. So he says to you, Jesus says, my child, he says, you are my greatest treasure. All I want is you. You are my gold. You're the pearl of great price that I gave everything for. You are my frankincense, my sweet-smelling aroma, who I love to smell, and who's bringing my fragrance of life to others everywhere you go. And you are my myrrh, crucified with me, and now alive with me in my Father's kingdom. See, how do we have the riches to give to a king? Well, we don't, except that he made us his riches to give to him. Now we have something to give to the king. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, how do you do it? How do you do it? Everything goes back to you. We can't take credit for any of it. We can't. You said if we did, we would boast about it. It's all grace. It's all you. It's all you, Jesus. So we give you ourselves. We bring ourselves to the King and we say, here we are, Jesus, your greatest treasure. You're the one that made us the treasure, and we give it back to you. We accept the exchange. I want to do something together. I want to sing an old song that probably most of you know. So will you sing this with me? Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares with you. Sing it to him again. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares with you. Jesus, nothing I desire compares with you. It's true, Jesus. It's true. It's taken some of us far too long to realize, Jesus, but you're it. You're our reason for living. You're our love. You're our joy. You're our hope. You're everything, Jesus. Apart from you, apart from your presence, we have nothing. Absolutely nothing. And Lord, amazingly, you don't take that. You know that we have nothing without you, and yet you don't take that power and use it over us. You instead walk beside us in the cool of the garden and say, I just want to talk. I just want to love you and have you love me and talk to you and listen to you. That's what you do with your power and authority, as you walk with us in the cool of the garden. We accept, Jesus. So what I want to do tonight, I just believe this is going to be a very powerful time. I want to ask in just a minute for the core leaders of Blazing Fire to come up. And I've asked them to help me to anoint each of you. We have the anointing oil that has, most of them do have frankincense and myrrh right in them. And what we're doing as we anoint you, obviously if you're coming forward, you're coming forward because you want this. So if you don't want this, you don't have to. You can stay in your seats. But what we're going to do is just anoint you on your forehead. As a symbol, anointing is used very much as a symbol of the Spirit within you. But this also is very symbolic of that exchange that's happened. That as you're coming up, you are just affirming all over again, I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to you, Jesus. And I totally accept this exchange life. And I just want to say that if you happen to be here tonight and that's not something you've ever done, would you make it a point as you come up to one of the lines here tonight, would you make it a point just to tell us that, just to say, in fact, I would love for all of you as you come up to simply say, in whatever way you want to, I give my life to Jesus. Just in some way to declare that. Even if you did long ago, that's okay. And we will make a declaration over you as we anoint you. But if you've never decided that before, tonight, would you, when you come up here, would you let us know that this is the first time for me that I've really given myself to Jesus? Would you let us know that? Because we would just really especially like to bless you. What I also want to ask, and we're going to have, in fact, let me go ahead and have the core leaders come on up and begin to fan out this way. Bring your oil with you. I've got extras. Pretty soon you're going to notice the smell in the room. It's very fragrant, as the Lord is fragrant, our fragrance. Do you even need oil? Okay. What I'm going to ask is this, though, because there's many more of you than there are of us, when you come up this first time in these lines, this is not the time to ask us to pray for several other things, but just simply let us bless you. You know, you can make your declaration of your life belonging to Him, to Jesus, but let us just anoint you and bless you. And sincerely, for many of you, you're going to experience something. Now, whether you feel anything or not, that's okay. The Lord, there are things happening in the Spirit, and it's okay if you don't feel things. But I'm just saying, for some of you, it will be very significant, and you're going to know that. For those of you who want prayer, we are also, as far as I know, Donna, are you here? Is Donna here? Oh, are the children going to
pray? We have children. That
Which way?
Pray.
Let's go this way.
Okay.
Okay, so several of the children who were in the play are very willing to pray for you. When Blazing Fire started 6 years ago, when we began to worship at Good News Family Fellowship, I remember there were many miracles of little children just in their very simple way praying and God instantly healing people. It's amazing because for most of them, nobody's gotten their head yet that they're not supposed to do this, you know? They just know that they can. And so what we're going to ask is that the children that are going to do the praying for people, you get to come up first and let us anoint you and any adults that are going to pray with them. And then they're going to move over there, kind of over by the plant and the over there, just to for any of you that want prayer for healing. Once the lines here have gone down, if you want to come for additional prayer, you can. But I'm just trying to make sure that everybody who wants to be anointed will be able to do that without having to wait a real long time. Okay? And the last thing I'd say, David, is if you could go ahead and put something on the iPod. So, God, we're just right now, would you just open up your hearts to the Lord? And God, we receive all the blessings that you have for us from heaven. And we know that God, we are worthy to receive them because Jesus has made us 100% worthy to receive all of your blessing. So we do receive that, Father. And I'm just asking and inviting your Spirit to sweep through this place, to heal people, to touch people, to encourage people. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So let's start with the kids that are going to do the praying or any adults with them that are going to do the praying. You get to come up first, and then others can kind of follow right behind them. A little bit.